You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back. If this is your first hour joining us, you missed some good sound. We played a lot of Senator John Kennedy. We'll play that again throughout the course of the show.
Put down the bong.
I love his voice. And we talked a little bit about Governor Ron DeSantis, how he's really becoming a front runner for 2024 and is really showing weak need Republicans in general, what people want from their leaders right now. And they don't want people asking AOC for apologies or, you know, having the GOP say, oh, you know, Liz Cheney's the future of the party. No, if you can't figure out what your base wants at this point after 4 years of Donald Trump, then you probably should step out of the arena because your time is done. But I want to move on a little bit from that. And I want to talk about this impeachment trial. It's set to begin February 9th, which is right around the corner. Jared actually has a calendar by his desk where he crosses off each day in anticipation.
That's right. All the dirty laundry better come out. Everything. It's called the FBI. It's called witnesses. I want Donald Trump to get up there on the stand. I want him to say, all right, here's everything, everybody. In-person D-class on live TV.
Jared's definitely a glass half full guy. He always has hope that every single thing that happens is going to be the best case scenario. And that's why he's a great producer, because I feed off that energy. But I do want to read, and Jared, you're going to enjoy this piece. Every once in a while, I like to read from something that I think is going to cheer people up a little bit, but also inform you about what we have to look forward to over the next couple days. Personally, I've been kind of dreading this impeachment trial. What can I say? Watching these Democrats get up, I've seen it with Brett Kavanaugh, with the first impeachment. Now we're going into the second impeachment. It's a lot of grandstanding. It's a lot of hero moments from these politicians. And I just, my gag reflex can only take so much.
Yeah, but it's going to be hero moments against the guy who does not care, has no position and nothing to lose. Brett Kavanaugh can't fight back.
Jared, did you write this piece that I'm about to read from?
I did not.
Okay. Well, you're going to enjoy it. I thought maybe your pseudonym is Jeffrey Hunt, because that's the author of this piece. It's called Trump Will Play the Senate's Game Using the Democrats' Chips. And I see you guys on the line. I will get to your calls after this. I want to hear your take on impeachment or whatever you want to talk about. 844-500-4242. The lines are open. But hear me out here. This is Jeffrey Hunt. And I'm going to skip around like I always do for time's sake. The impeachment managers from the Democrat House, along with co-Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, I hate the fact that he's the Senate Majority Leader, seem convinced that a Senate trial will dispatch Donald Trump from the American scene.
Donald John Trump incited the erection.
Thank you, Chuck. Not so fast, Jeff Hunt writes. The first 3 days of the trial will highlight House managers arguing that former President Trump incited violence at the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Now I'm going to skip down here. The Dems' case will be a rehash of what we have already seen from the media accounts. You guys know what that is. You know, Trump's a liar. This is all lies, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to try to prove that Trump's words at the rally incited the storming of the Capitol. Athletic rhetoric, perhaps. Now, I'm going back to reading this. Yet within the bounds of commonplace discourse today, largely institutionalized by Democrats' own incendiary language, by the way, Trump inciting a riot? Spare me. As Paul Meringoff of the Powerline blog posts, Paul Meringoff, I'm going to try to get him on the show this week. He's an excellent writer. He really breaks things down in an easy-to-understand way. The House managers must prove that Trump's election assertions are indeed false and knowingly false, not simply First Amendment protected opinion. The Dem House managers won't provide evidence that Trump's statements were false, not only because they don't have anything beyond declarations, but simply because nobody really knows whether the election results in the contested six states are valid or not, free from error or not, lathered with fraud or not. He goes on to say, as Jared had pointed out, then the fireworks on the Senate floor will begin. Because the Senate trial is an extra constitutional exhibition. It has no authority or binding power. This is something that I've been explaining to people. I'm like, this is not a legal proceeding. This is all show, basically. And it's show that usually has a point to it in the end. In this case, it does not. He is no longer president. Trump, as reality TV show celebrity with neither constraints nor fears of the outcome, will be free to present his case in any manner, form, or construct that he chooses, having no downside consequences. An acquittal would never quell the Dem partisans. A conviction will be quickly dismissed when Trump challenges in federal court or later attempted by Democrat state election boards. So then he goes on to explain that notable legal commentators, including Alan Dershowitz and other people on Trump's team, have all said the pursuit of impeachment and trial of a former president is moot and meaningless. Trump himself will have at least 3 hours to puff off feather dust claims that he incited a riot on January 6th. But more important, present all of the material that formed his opinion about the lack of election integrity. This is what Jared was talking about. Most notably, the exhaustive presentations by Peter Navarro covering ballot fraud, numerous ballot process irregularities, and violations or rewrites of state legislator enacted election laws by officials without sanction from legislatures, obviously unconstitutional at both the state and federal levels. And so, this is the real point. Trump is playing with House money. Trump can walk away with tens of millions of followers and future voters in tow, with Democrats' veins a-bursting and rhino hair a-fire. Trump will enjoy an entertaining day on the floor of the U.S. Senate, knowing he can vindicate those tens of millions of loyal followers who are deeply skeptical of Biden's legitimacy, set the stage for a dramatic shadow presidency, or lay down the pavers for another march towards the White House in 2024. Meanwhile, Dems and rhinos think Trump will be intimidated or otherwise marginalized, silenced, and canceled. Think again, not so fast. This really put into perspective for me what this could be if Trump does this right. Why would he not? I mean, why would this reality TV show guy turn president not take advantage of this? He doesn't shy away from a fight. He definitely doesn't shy away from cameras. He loves bringing the ratings. He hates these people and they hate him. It's perfect.
I just can't wait for the first dissertation from Senator Spartacus to come out. And Trump just looks at him and says, I'm sorry, Spartacus. Are you finished?
I have tears of rage.
Spartacus, Pocahontas.
Oh, it's going to be a who's.
The entire.
Who's who of nicknames.
Entire Mitt Romney-esque little black book of nicknames he has for these people. Or binder of nicknames he has for these people.
And we're going to be talking all about this during today's show. I also have Amber Athey coming up from the Daily Caller and from Spectator. She has a great piece out about AOC and how AOC is using what happened at the Capitol to kind of make herself the center of attention, really. Joe, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Grace. I'm just picking up on what you're talking about. And even if they do convict him in the Senate, which I think the only holdout could be Joe Manchin of West Virginia. He could actually vote to acquit. But even if he is convicted, it's like it's all for show. It's all for nothing. It's just a one big total circus. And we're going to play right into the Republicans' hands in 2022.
Exactly. And it's all a circus. And it's a circus that's going to be more fun for Trump supporters to watch. Democrats are going to be watching this going, wait, why is he back? I thought we wanted this power. I thought we wanted this chance to take over. And we're bringing this guy back into the center of the spotlight.
And again, the key to fear of authority is respecting that authority. There's no respect for these people. Their charges, their impeachments don't really matter.
No. I mean, the first one was a joke to begin with. Think about all the times the Democrats have overplayed their hand in the last couple of years. We're talking Russiagate, Ukrainegate. That was the first impeachment. Michael Avenatti, Brett Kavanaugh, Trump's taxes. Every single thing was the sky is falling. And I don't know if you guys have looked up in the last couple of years, but the sky's still there. So they're running around, chickens with their heads cut off. Nobody pays attention to them anymore. And now they're bringing this guy back. And America, there's a few things I know about this country. We love a comeback. We love someone coming back into the spotlight in reclaiming their title. And I'm not saying that this is going to be, Trump's not the president. Joe Biden's the president, and he's going to be for 4 years. But Trump is about to reclaim the title of the ratings king when he walks back in there. And it's going to be a thing of beauty. I really actually do look forward to it. And I don't say that a lot about these kind of things. James, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, James.
Hi, Grace. Thank you for taking my call. I was just curious what your opinion was. You know, you and Howie have been talking the last couple of days about the guy that is being charged. They want to send him to prison for 10 years for making a meme. And interfering with the 2016 election.
Yeah.
Well, if he can be charged, you know, so far in the past, shouldn't Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg be facing charges for interfering in the 2020 election specifically?
Absolutely.
Platforming the Hunter Biden laptop story. They actively interfered in the election by doing that. I think they should both be charged and face prison time.
And this is part of the reason, James, it kind of harkens back to what I was saying in the first hour. This is part of the stuff that annoys me about Republicans is that, you know, Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham and all these people, they love talking about big tech and how they're not going to stand for it. And, you know, they killed the Hunter Biden story and they banned the New York Post. But you don't see anything actually get done. And now we have no power. So I can't really see anything. But you're absolutely right. That story about the meme guy is crazy. I'll try to print that out. I don't know enough about it right now to talk about it. I know that anytime meme is involved in someone getting prison time, that I have a feeling I know what side I'm going to be on, but I'll do some research. We'll be back on the other side, 844-500-4242. Call in with your thoughts. We'll be talking impeachment and a lot more. Guys, my friends at Eden Pure have done it again. Starting today, you can get the Thunderstorm Air Purifier at the lowest price offered to my listeners. With code word GRACE, the Thunderstorm is available for under $90 and shipping is free. I'm going to let Jared explain why the Thunderstorm is so great because he has been raving about it all week.
Well, I love that it's quiet, first of all, because again, I've mentioned this, but we are bombarded all day by sound. And when I get home, I don't want to have a going off, or I don't want to hear a clunk, 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 clunk. It's super quiet. The air smells fantastic. It's almost like you are smelling a thunderstorm, but that's all you're smelling. There's an absence of smell. There's no filter because I hate changing filters. And I have allergies, so I can't have dust. I can't have allergens getting in there.
Yeah.
This doesn't actually filter the air. It changes the air. It deionizes the air to make it clean.
And the reason I think Jared, we all use the thunderstorms. We all love them. But Jared's a tough customer because he's picky. He has allergies. And Jared, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but you're like me. You're lazy. You don't want to do a lot of work with a machine.
I do not want to have to think about it.
So this is why it's so perfect. If you tried to get this machine at other places, it might cost you up to $600, but not with the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space. Like Jared said, quiet as a mouse. You cannot hear it. Take advantage of this one-week-only sale and experience for yourself what all the listeners are raving about. Go to EdenPure.com. Put in code word GRACE. That's EdenPure.com. Code word GRACE. Shipping is free. I'll be back on the other side with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn. Do what I did and enjoy this beautiful inn. To reserve your room, go to follinsbyinn.com. I'm going back there. My parents have been there once. They're going back there again. I cannot tell you how much I love the Follinsbee Inn. It is a very special place, and you should definitely check it out. I will be there February 19th. If you want to check it out while I'm there, we can hang together. I played Battleship last time I was there, had some cocktails by the fire. If that sounds good to you, then go to thefollinsbeeinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who are you most excited about as a Jeopardy host? Anderson Cooper, Katie Couric, or Dr. Sanjay Gupta?
See, now I feel like I should have put none of the above as an option because I want to choose that. I will say Anderson Cooper.
Olive Garden, AC360, now polling at 4%.
Oh!
Dr. Sanjay Gupta still in the lead at 83%. Katie Couric is at 13%.
And we will get to that. I want to go through some of those host greatest hits, and I want to get your take if you're going to watch it or not. I've been feeling as though Jeopardy's been getting more and more political slowly over time. And nothing about Alex Trebek. He was an absolute icon. He was the best. I miss him all the time. I wish we didn't have to be having a discussion about fill-in hosts. But I did start to notice that when he would do story times with the guests, it wasn't him. It was the guests. They would always say like, oh, well, I collect George Orwell books. And right now, that's so important. And things like that where I was like, ugh. And so bringing in all of these hosts that are uber liberal, I don't think I'm going to be watching.
And I'm saying this in all seriousness. Merv Griffin has tons of money. Can we not do like deep fake Alex Trebek? I mean, if they can make Robert Downey Jr. look 20 years younger in an Iron Man movie, can't we just like have a deep fake Alex Trebek?
See, Jared, I think that goes down a slippery slope. I think that's weird. That starts getting weird. I'm not into the deep fakes. You know what? This is actually brings up a good point. We will be having a segment. Not this Friday, as I said, I'm taking the day off, but Friday Files and that kind of stuff. You save that for the conspiracy. You get your tinfoil hat ready, and we're going to let Jared run on Fridays. It's going to be like the best thing ever for him. Russ, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Grace, let's face it. The quality of life for the poor and the lower middle class depends on affordable energy. Now, from when gasoline was over $4 a gallon and heating oil was over $4 a gallon, it was costing me somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 for energy. And for a senior citizen, that's a lot of money. And what really gets me, millions of American saps have been influenced by panic peddlers, Green New Deal profiteers, environment Nazis. If they only would think for themselves and do their own research, because of the fact that you cannot destroy this planet because of rain, wind, fire, volcanic ash, and the sun isn't going to burn out anytime soon. And I would bet you a nickel to a dollar that if you stopped 10 people on the street, that at least 9 out of 10 of them wouldn't even understand what the benefit is of volcanic ash. And that's the sad part of it all.
Well, I think a lot of schools right now are teaching kids that the climate fight is the most important thing. And when you hear John Kerry and Joe Biden talk about it and you realize that they are literally putting this above anything else, including people's jobs and people's ability to make a living, this is a religion. And if you decide not to follow it, you are a denier.
And I won't even call it a pyramid scheme because you don't recruit people. It's a flim-flam scheme. John Kerry, Joe Biden, these people, they make money off of this.
Right.
It is just putting out an unprovable fear tactic to move things around to make these people money.
And that's it. That's the thing, too, is that it's one thing to tell people like, oh, sorry, we got to kill all your jobs. You know, you're going to have to figure out something else to do. But to do that while you're on the Flying Squirrel or whatever private jet he's on, that takes a level, a disconnect from reality, that a real delusion that I can't even really wrap my head around. And, or you know what, as John Kennedy said, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's the bong.
We play Put down the bong.
The fairy dust, unicorn urine, this is what they want. And there's a lot of people who are going to have real consequences for John Kerry's pipe dreams and for John Kerry or bong dreams or whatever you want to call them. There's people who are not going to be able to put food on the table because John Kerry wants to feel good as he jets from Iceland to America to Canada to wherever he goes. We'll be back with Amber Athey from the Daily Caller and Spectator. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Did he not say that he was Capitol Police on purpose? Did he lose himself in that moment? Did he not give us the extraction point location because he forgot? Or was he trying to actually put us in a vulnerable, you know, situation?
That was sound from Congresswoman AOC's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Instagram Live, I believe. She does a lot of those, gets a lot. I'm looking at the picture right now, 100,000 eyes on that video. And she makes a lot of statements, a lot of bold statements. And our next guest, I'm so excited. This is Amber Athey. She's from the Daily Caller and Spectator. Amber, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you for having me.
I have to say, Amber, you got a huge fan base. I tweeted it out and people immediately were so excited. They were like, okay, we're going to need the podcast of this, the video. I was a little taken aback by the outpouring of support.
Well, it's really good to hear, especially since I had quite a day yesterday with the Twitter mob. So the fact that people are tweeting at you about my guest appearance on the show is great.
So, Amber, let's walk through this AOC thing first, and then we'll get to the Twitter mobs after. AOC was talking about the Capitol riots, and you make a point of saying that she made this about herself. And I was talking to someone about your piece today, and I told them your point of view, which was that AOC brought up a sexual assault as a way of kind of weaponizing anyone or weaponizing an argument so that no one else could kind of combat anything she said. And I brought this up to someone, and they said to me, wow, well, you can't say that on the air. You can't. And you write that in your piece. You say, I know a lot of people don't want to say this, but you said it anyway.
Yeah, I thought it was important to say, and, you know, especially as a fellow woman writing for The Spectator, that there are so many people who would be scared to say something because sexual assault is such a sensitive topic. And I think that's totally fair. But when I look at what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez actually said during her live stream on Monday, it really does feel like she was using this as a political cudgel. And the reason why is she went beyond just saying, you know, this event was particularly traumatic for me, or I was very scared because I have this history of sexual assault, which I think is a completely fair point to make. I feel for her. And obviously for anyone who's been through a situation like that. However, she then went on to project those feelings and her traumatic experience onto people who criticized her for claiming that Senator Ted Cruz had tried to have her killed through his rhetoric about the election. So what she was doing by comparing these people who criticized her to abusers, whether sexual or otherwise, is she made it impossible to ever criticize her response to this Capitol storming. And she's never offered any evidence for the fact that Ted Cruz tried to have her killed beyond the fact that he wanted to object to the electors and the guaranteeing of the election, and instead has simply tried to silence anyone who's criticized her for saying that, to prevent people from ever saying it again, and indeed making herself out to be the victim when she was the one who lobbed this baseless accusation in the first place.
And another thing, Amber, I'm talking to Amber Athey. She's from the Daily Caller and Spectator, as well as numerous other outlets. Amber, another thing you bring up, which I think is important, is that the quote is, the reason I'm getting emotional in this moment is because these folks who tell us to move on, that it's not a big deal, that we should forget what happened. That's how AOC started this comment. And I have to say, I don't know many folks who are saying that. And it starts to make me feel as though she's setting up a straw man here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I tried to find the source of this claim, and it turns out this is another thing that Ted Cruz said, but it wasn't in relation to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's reaction to the Capitol storming or how she felt about it. What he was actually saying was he was making an argument against impeaching the president, which is an argument many people are making because obviously Trump is no longer in office. There's an argument as to whether or not he even had anything to do with this, considering the people who stormed the Capitol started before he ever told them to walk over there, considering he told people to protest peacefully during his speech at the White House Ellipse. So her whole so Ted Cruz is saying move on because impeachment is not the right course of action to take in response to this event. And so Ocasio-Cortez is responding to that statement, again, taking Ted Cruz out of context, lobbing another baseless accusation, and creating a straw man, like you said. And that was when she brought up the sexual assault. She didn't initially bring up the sexual assault to talk about how traumatized she was. It was actually in order to immediately attack her critics.
Amber, I want to move on. I'm the straw man now. I want to move on. But I do want to move on to your other piece about Joe Biden. You bring up a phrase he uses all the time, and it blows my mind that he's continued to use it as more and more stories have come out. And that's when he says his word as a Biden. And you kind of break down all of the reasons why his word as a Biden does not mean much. I want to start with Frank Biden. Can you tell people a little bit about that relationship and why you think it discredits Joe Biden?
Yeah, well, both of Biden's brothers actually have been involved in some pretty shady business practices. Frank Biden is involved in real estate, actually, and has used his brother's name repeatedly to try to get business for his firm. He was criticized on impeachment day, no less, for talking in an ad for his company about the fact that his brother is going to be in the White House. So it certainly seems like he is interested in trading influence off of the Biden name. Not exactly a turn of events that you would associate with honesty or integrity. And then Biden's other brother was involved in business with Hunter Biden, who, of course, his dealings with foreign businesses, as well as his own personal shortcomings, are really well-known and well-covered in conservative media. When you look at all of the public-facing Biden figures, it becomes very clear that these are not exactly the people you would want to associate with yourself when you're trying to tell people that your word means something.
Right. And Amber, out of all of Biden's executive orders that he's made thus far, all the executive actions that he's taken, are any of them standing out to you as particularly dangerous or harmful to America in general?
I'm particularly concerned about the suspension of the Migrant Protection Protocols program that Biden is floating. That is the program that Trump implemented for illegal immigrants to be sent to wait out their adjudication of their court cases in Mexico rather than being caught and released into the United States. This was an obvious loophole in the immigration system where illegal immigrants would come to the border. They knew that they would get caught, however, that they would be released into the U.S. pending their court dates and could essentially disappear and just never show up for court. They could live in the United States indefinitely with an illegal status. The solution to that was to have them not wait in the U.S. and either be held in detention or wait in a safe third country, and that agreement was made with Mexico. Biden wants to undo all of that progress and reintroduce the incentive for illegal immigrants to come to our border and make false claims of asylum in the hopes that they're going to gain access to the United States.
Now, Amber, I agree with you on that. I think another one is the Keystone XL pipeline. I think a lot of people have fears about both of those things. My next question for you would have to be, what do you see for Republicans going into 2022 and 2024? There seems to be kind of two schools of thought here. There's the old school Republicans, Liz Cheney, Lindsey Graham. They're all kind of sticking together. And, you know, they're getting nice write-ups in The Washington Post. And then there is kind of a new branch, which is the Ron DeSantis's and people who aren't afraid to, you know, make enemies with the press and say what they feel. What do you think is going to happen in 2022 or 2024?
The Republicans would be really remiss if they did not embrace the latter. And that's because when you actually look at the election, although Trump did lose on the presidential ticket, in all of the races where he endorsed these congresspeople and senators, they performed really, really well. Republicans far outperformed expectations in the House and Senate races. They obviously didn't hold the Senate, but were far closer than anyone predicted, and they gained a significant number of House seats, whereas most of the media predictions were that Republicans were actually going to lose more seats in the House and that this would be a blue wave. So when Trump is on the ticket, or when Trumpism is on the ticket, the Republican Party does really, really well. And the problem in Georgia actually was not that these senators were too Trumpy. It's actually that they probably weren't Trumpy enough, and they were seen as these establishment figures, particularly because of Kelly Loeffler's problems with the insider trading.
Right.
And so when you go into 2022 and you say, well, we want to just get rid of Trump and Trumpism entirely, I think that's the wrong answer. The right answer is you can actually separate the ideology of Trumpism, which is sort of a nationalist populist message, from the person. And that's a great way of bringing these suburbanites back into the fold who liked a lot of Trump's policies but didn't really like his personality. And I think that's one of the big reasons that Trump didn't win on the presidential ticket.
Now, I'm talking to Amber Athey from the Daily Caller, and I have one more question for you, Amber, and from Spectator, I'm sorry. My next question for you would be, if you had to predict what's going to go on with impeachment, I know it's starting up again. What do you see happening? Do you see the Democrats overplaying their hand? Do you see this working out well for them? Give us kind of your crystal ball predictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the Democrats were serious about this impeachment mess, then they would have done it immediately. Their whole claim for pursuing impeachment was that Trump was a unique threat to the country and that he needed to be removed from office immediately. Well, Trump's not in office anymore, and it's been several weeks since the Capitol storming, and we still haven't made much progress on impeachment. So that just tells you how serious the Dems actually are about this. And at this point, people are going to start wanting to, and here I go, inflicting more trauma on AOC again, but move on from this event. And at this point, doing this, you know, almost a month after it happened, it's going to start to look vindictive. It's going to look petty. And Trump hasn't even really spoken publicly at this point. He's released a few statements from his lawyers, but for the most part, he's been out of the public eye. Bringing him back into the fold to pursue this impeachment, I don't think is going to resonate with a lot of voters who are feeling like they've been disappointed by the Biden presidency so far, and especially by the fact that they still haven't received their $2,000 checks.
And especially by the fact that they haven't seen much of Joe Biden, Amber. I was thinking about this today, and a lot of your pieces you write about Hunter, and that was a common theme, was where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? And then I started to think today, where's Joe? I haven't seen him actually speak to reporters in quite some time.
Yes, and the press often forgets that Trump was one of the most accessible presidents in modern history. He would talk to the press directly, taking whatever questions they wanted, at least twice a week, every time he boarded Marine One to travel, certainly, and occasionally in the briefing room. Biden has notoriously been a very difficult president to get a hold of. He was a difficult candidate to get a hold of. And so people are having to go through his press secretary, who stumbles through these briefings with ums and ahs and circle backs. And they're starting to realize how good they actually had it
right,
covering a president when Trump was in office.
Amber Athey is from The Spectator. She's their Washington editor. She's also the host of Unfit to Print podcast. Amber, where can people find you on Twitter?
They can find me at Amber_Athey.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And make sure you check out Amber's stuff. She writes great pieces, and she's not afraid of the mob. She's not afraid of cancel culture, which is very rare nowadays. February is recognized as American Heart Month, but talking about supporting heart health is not enough. Nearly half of all U.S. adults have heart health concerns. I talk to kids my age, and a lot of them have high blood pressure. People are stressed out. And if you want to do something that's easy, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just take Superbeats Heart Chews daily. Just two Superbeats Heart Chews per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need every day. Superbeats Heart Chews combine non-GMO beets and clinically researched grapeseed extract, shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. In addition to a healthy diet and exercise, supplementing your efforts with Superbeats Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. It really is easy, and it helps support healthy blood pressure and heart health. I know Jared likes it for his circulation, keeps his hands warm. I have the same thing. I take it, I feel energy, but I also just feel better as the days go on. And now when you buy a bag of Super Beats Heart Chews, you can get a second for 50% off, plus free shipping when you make your purchase at GetSuperBeats.com/grace. That's GetSuperBeats.com/grace. GetSuperBeats.com/grace. We'll be back on the other side with your calls, 844-500-4242. I'm Grace, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I cannot believe it's already Wednesday. Time flies when you're having fun. Arthur, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, it's good to hear you, Grace.
Oh, thank you.
And I just wonder, how did you manage to escape with a degree without getting brainwashed?
So I get this question a lot, Arthur. I was a theater major at Providence College. I had a great time, loved all my professors, loved the school. I do have to say, though, when I was in school, Obama was president. And I think it's kind of very telling about Democrats. We never talked about it because their guy was in, they were happy, and all was well. I think if I were there now, things might be different. But I also like to give people the benefit of the doubt and say, hey, maybe I just was surrounded by great people and great, you know, whatever. But I do think there would be a different relationship now with my peers if I were there and I were this conservative. I think back then it was kind of cute. It was like, oh. There's Grace, that wacky conservative. Do you hear she voted for Mitt Romney? She's crazy. Now it'd be like, she's the devil. No, I'm just kidding. But again, I will say this because some of my professors still tune in. And that's the great thing is that I have professors there who I love. Like I have one professor in particular who's going to be at my wedding. He's the sweetest guy in the whole world. And he disagrees with me on politics, but he tells me all the time, I tune in to the Grace Curley Show when I want to see your face. And, you know, I love that you're succeeding. And I've had teachers, I went to a private high school who are extremely liberal, who have reached out to me and said, hey, I fundamentally disagree with almost everything you say, and I'm so proud of you that you're succeeding and that you're following your dreams. And to me, that's really positive, and that should be applauded because those are the kind of educators that we should all hope to have in our schools and in our communities, people who can put aside their own views and encourage kids to speak out, whether or not they agree with them or not. And I've had a lot of that experience. And as far as being a conservative in general, my parents were conservative, and I started working for Howie Carr, and just kind of my whole life I've been conservative. And when I meet the people, I say this a lot, and it might come off kind of corny. I don't mean it to, but when I meet people at Howie Carr VIPs or when we go around and do road trips or, you know, I'm surrounded by a lot of people who are parents and husbands and wives and friends, and they all kind of they're so encouraging and they're so proud of me, and they all love their kids, whether their kids agree with them or not. And they're just good people. They're like salt of the earth people. And I always think to myself, these are the credulous boomer rubes. Like, these are the people that are destroying the country. These guys who work like 9 to 5 and come in and have a slice of pizza with us and are just the nicest people. So I've kind of been, it's been a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like I've been Republican and then I've enjoyed it and I've met a lot of great people. And we just had Amber Atheon. That's a perfect example. She's a smart conservative woman. And I've met a lot of these people through this, and I'm just constantly impressed by them, and they always treat me with respect, and I've been learning a lot. So keep your mind open, everyone. I guess that's the message there. We'll be back on the other side with the producer's picks. Jared Diglio is going to be laying down the law. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.